at a time.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
This week on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, that long-promised episode where we explore lunar mysteries, our fascination with the moon, why strange things seem to happen there. You know, what inspired all those novels and movies about trips to the moon and the strange things we see there. Now, Don Ecker of the Dark Matters radio show and the Paracast forums is among our guests. Also, publisher, author, world traveler David Hatcher Childress making a return. Don, let's start with you. What is there about the moon that fascinates us? Its nearness to us? What?
Well, first off, Gene, it's really nice to be back with you and Chris and to reacquaint myself with David. Once again, we're going to hit on one of my favorite topics, which is the moon lunar transient phenomena, lunar mysteries. I guess, you know, there's nothing in the sky that's any more familiar to just about everybody on this planet than the moon. It's always been there. Every time we go outside in the evening and we look up, chances are we're going to see it. It's that familiar face. Humankind have used it for centuries to tell itself when to plant crops, when it's time to harvest crops. Men and women, lovers, have gone out, cavorted under the moon since time immemorial. I mean, it's just one of those things that we all take for granted. But here's the other thing. Back in 1961, when President John F. Kennedy pledged that America was not only going into space, that also by the end of that decade, we were going to not only land on the moon, the very genesis of our space effort, not only were we going to land there, but we were going to return our astronauts back home safely. And during that decade, and all of you guys will remember this, during that decade, there were promises made, promises from NASA, promises throughout the media. There were major motion pictures talking about the moon, like Arthur C. Clarke's 2001. We all thought we knew what was coming, which would be going to the moon, ultimately setting up lunar colonies, manufacturing in space, things that we could not do successfully here in the 1G gravity of planet Earth. And, of course, that other thing, which was very seldom mentioned, but was there nonetheless, a military presence on the moon. Now, granted, we spent untold billions of dollars to get there. The Soviet Union, at that time, in a neck-to-neck race with us, spent untold billions of rubles to get there. On July the 20th, 1969, a date that will forever live in my memory, we touched down, and we thought that was the beginning. But, unfortunately, it was not. We ended up going up there about seven times, landed successfully only six. And in December of 1972, also another date that will live in my memory, we returned from the moon for the very last time. Now, what was really surprising about that? Number one, there was never really any explanation from NASA on why we stopped going to the moon, other than, well, you know, the American public just doesn't seem to care much anymore. And, you know, they don't care. We're just going to kind of call it off. Even though we had already built a additional Saturn rockets to go back up there. We had astronauts trained. We had all the equipment sitting on the launch pad ready to go. All they needed to do was light the candle. Never happened. Then the rumors started. Perhaps, just perhaps, we were warned off the moon. And I think that's a great place to stop right now, Gene.
There's a movie coming out later this year called Apollo 18. And I guess this is a kind of a horror film in the tradition of Blair Witch Project, where it kind of has a semi-documentary feel, where they present a lunar landing where we are warned off by E.T. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, you see, this is one of the things that in all my years of lunar research, and I went back starting at the very beginning. In 1976, a tremendously powerful, important book was published that was almost gone as quickly as it hit the bookshelves. Titled Somebody Else Was on the Moon by an author by the name of George Leonard. Now, Leonard was an American scientist, had friends and associates that were working within the Apollo program. After Apollo was canceled, he was in contact with some of these people, was able to enter NASA and see a lot of the photographs that they had taken, which at that time, for the most part, were totally unknown to the American public, ended up writing this book, and in it, he also published a number of photographs that were breathtaking in what they showed, what they seemed to show, I guess I should say, and what the implications were if his interpretation of what he was seeing was correct. And that was, in essence, and let me just distill it for you, that there was, and perhaps still is, an extraterrestrial presence, particularly on the far side of the moon, the surface, the part of the moon that we never see, and that apparently this facility has been in operation a very long time. Now, over the years, there have been a lot of things that have eventually surfaced to suggest that perhaps there is something there. Now, of course, NASA has spent its career in denying reports like this, denying reports that we were, quote-unquote, warned off the moon. But there have been tremendous questions that have been asked that have never been answered by anybody within NASA. And during that period of time, I have also collected quite a large library of photographs that most of the public are also not aware of that seem to show that there are mechanical devices up there, some gigantic in scope, that suggest that somebody has a presence that's been up there a long time.
David Hatcher Childress, what attracted you as someone who has explored mysteries on the Earth to the prospects, the promise of what might be going on the moon?
Well, yeah, he's older than me, but yeah, I remember watching all the NASA Apollo missions and all that. And I remember, and I have the books. I knew George Leonard, who wrote Somebody Else Is on the Moon. And that book was followed by a couple of other books by a guy named, his name was Don Wilson. And he wrote two books that also appeared in the 70s called Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon. And then there was a sequel called Secrets of Our Spaceship Moon. And that book, unlike Leonard's book, which was a hardback and then it was a paperback, that did have some photos, as Don said, but and some drawings that Leonard had done, and it had maybe 10 photos in it or something, and Don Wilson's books had no photos in it at all, but it was much the same theory that the moon is occupied, it's actually some kind of artificial spaceship even, and that there, of course, are all these anomalies. There's pyramids on the moon, there are dome cities. There are these like moving rovers that are moving on the moon. Leonard believed that there were these X drones, these giant mining drones that were moving along on the moon.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into the promise possibly the threat of what's going on the moon, with David Hatcher Childress and Don Ecker. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
I've got to tell you about this. GoToMeeting by Citrix, the way I meet online with my colleagues, has just added high-definition group video conferencing. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now you can collaborate with anyone around the world face-to-face. And I've used GoToMeeting HD Faces because it's awesome. You see the facial expressions, and that can express so much more than words. And of course, the video quality is so clear and natural, it's got the highest resolution in the industry. Nothing compares. GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective. Plus, it's so easy to use. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. The promo code is PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 127.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We're looking at the moon. Someone else on there? What's going on? What about secret explorations? We continue with Don Ecker and David Hatcher Childress with Gene and Chris on the PowerCast. David, you started in explaining some of the things that are happening on the moon as we ended our last segment. Would you continue?
Right. And there were really these three books from the 70s. Then there was a book done in the late 80s called Alien Bases on the Moon. That book had more photos. And Fred Steckling was his name. And he was a German-American who worked for NASA. And like George Leonard, he also was able to get his hands on a lot of the Apollo and Gemini photos and stuff of the moon. As I got really fascinated by it, and I was traveling all over the world at a time, as I still do, and I was in Australia and England, and I started collecting books there on the moon. And I found that actually some of the best books of photos and things of the moon were actually these British astronomy books, not American books. And those books, too, also had a lot of the Soviet Zond photos of the moon. And the more that I pored over all those photos, I mean, I became fascinated. And ultimately, I released a book, which has now been in three different editions, called Extraterrestrial Archaeology. That book, I sought to put all this information from George Leonard's books and Don Wilson and Fred Steckling's and others, the Soviet photos, there's what's called the Blair cuspids on the moon, which are these obelisks there, and put them together in a large format book where people could really see these photos, black and white, in a large format and look at them themselves. And as I assembled that book, I became astonished myself at all of the anomalistic structures on the moon where you can clearly see these things. Our pyramids, there's the crater Aristillus on the moon. And in the middle of that crater, like seven pyramids. And you see them clearly in the photos. Now, NASA would say, oh, yeah, well, you know, they look like pyramids, but they're not really artificial pyramids or something. There just happen to be these mountains in the moon. But, yeah, they look like perfect pyramids. But then when you ask them, and it's more difficult for them to explain things that are moving on the moon and leaving tracks behind them. They're like those, like in Star Wars, those big vehicles that are moving around through these desert planets or something. And they're factories themselves that are moving around. And NASA took photographs of these things, and you can see the tracks that are made from them. NASA then also said, well, those are just rocks rolling around on the moon. And that earthquakes shake these big rocks off of hills and stuff, and then they roll down the hill and leave these tracks. But in one case, the tracks of this thing, this rock or machine that's actually moving on the moon, it actually comes up out of a crater and then goes down the other side. So how could it just be rolling around on the moon? It doesn't make sense.
That's amazing.
And David is absolutely correct about that. When I really became interested in questions about activity that was basically inexplicable on the moon, started back in the very early 1990s. Now, at that time, I was the director of research for UFO Magazine, and I had a radio program that aired once a week on CRN called UFOs Tonight. And during one of those broadcasts, as it turned out, one of my listeners got in touch with me, a fellow by the name of Jim Sylvan. And Jim had been studying questions about lunar phenomenon. As a matter of fact, lived out here on the West Coast and had started a side business where he was making some of these lunar photographs available to the public. And he had contacted me because he had heard one show where I had a guy on there, and we were discussing some of these lunar inexplicable events, and ended up sending me a package of photographs. Now, when I received those and I started going through those, some of those photographs, in fact, showed, for example, what David just mentioned about rolling objects on the surface of the moon. Now, that was one of the most, at that time, breathtaking photographs that I had seen. Now, I had seen a very small representation of this in Leonard's book. I had the paperback copy of the book. And for any of you guys that have seen that book, and you know that especially the paperback version was really not that great when it came to some of these photos. But having the actual photograph was something entirely different. So I got in touch with Jim and ended up inviting him to come on the program. And we did the first of several broadcasts on my show with Jim Sylvan, where we discussed some of this stuff. Now, at the time, Jim told me that he had been studying this at that time probably 10 or 12 years, and that he was fairly convinced that whatever was going on up there was certainly by no human agency. Now, I began to do some research on that. In 1990, I believe it was 95, I finally was able to secure a interview with a guy by the name of Vito Sicari, who was a petroleum engineer based down in Houston, Texas. He came on my program, and basically I had one of the most astounding broadcasts I think I ever had in my entire career. Now, what basically Sicari told me was that back in the late 1970s, actually about 1979, his company was working in connection with an American firm based down in Venezuela. And one of those engineers, for whatever reason, was coming up to the States. And his firm asked Vito if he would basically shepherd this guy around for several weeks, that he was going to be in town. And they had become friends over a period of time through their electronic communications back then. This guy's name was Lester Howes, and when Lester got up there, one of the first things he did after they actually met face-to-face for the first time was reach into his pocket, pull out a copy of Leonard's book. He handed it to Vito and said, "Do me a favor, go home tonight, read this, and then I want to talk to you about it tomorrow." So Sicari did. The next day when he came back to work and they met, he was kind of blown away by what he had read in Leonard's book, which discussed a lot of these anomalous events. So, what Lester wanted to do on his time up there was to go over to NASA in Houston and basically see these photographs. Well, little did they know about the three-week odyssey they were about to undertake. When they went over to see what they thought were these publicly funded, publicly available lunar photographs. Now, for anybody that heard that show, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to ask you something about that in a moment, Don Ecker. We have Don Ecker. We have publisher, author David Hatcher Childress. You're listening to
The Paracast.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related tasks you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Clifford Cliff, the International Director for the Mutual UFO Network. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
It's all moon all the time with Don Ecker and David Hatcher Childress with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. Don, this particular episode that you did, this lunar discussion, is that available for download? Is that one of the shows that you have available in our forums?
Yes, it's not only in the Dark Matters Radio forum, but it's also in the Dark Matters Radio archives. If you go up to darkmattersradio.com, the very top of the page, it will take you right into the archives, and yes, that show is available. So it's really available in two spots, on the Paracast, the Dark Matters Radio Forum, and on the Dark Matters Archives.
One way or the other, you can get yourself a copy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hanging on my seat here, Don. Let's listen to like a thumbnail sketch of what their three-week period ended up producing.
Well, they went over to NASA. They kind of thought that they would just walk in, say, "Hi, here we are. We're the taxpayers, and we'd like to see those moon photographs." Well, to say at the very least, they were treated like possible Russian agents. They were shuttled from one area to another. They were literally put on a merry-go-round. At one point, they were given a building number. They were not allowed to bring their vehicle on the site itself. They had to walk everywhere. And I mean, you know, the NASA facility is pretty darn big. They were given a building to go to see these photographs. And there were actually two buildings with that number, one an A and one a B. They went to the first one, and it was basically just an empty hangar, as described by Vito. And they looked, and they said, "Well, gee, maybe this is not the right one." So they went to the other building. They finally found it, walked in, And when they walked in, this was exactly at the time that the NASA Voyager mission was beginning to send back its photographs, its telemetry from, I believe it was Saturn. And they got in there and they stood around. Nobody knew who these guys were. And all these NASA technicians were oohing and aahing at all these photographs that were streaming back. They saw these two new guys that had walked in. I guess they thought they were somehow connected with the Voyager mission. And finally, one guy turned to Vito and said, "Hey, what do you think about that?" And he looked at the picture. "Oh, yeah, that's great." And Lester, his buddy, walked up and said, "Yeah, and by the way, how about those moon photos?" And suddenly, all these people turned around and they looked at him and they started covering up their computer monitors and everything. And they called security. Security ended up coming over and they threatened to arrest them for espionage. And they later figured out that they were sent to this building probably to try to scare them off. Well, this kind of business went on for several weeks until finally they did get to the correct place where these lunar photographs were stored. They went down there, but all the numerical, you know, designators on the photographs that they had gotten originally from George Leonard, when the archivist asked them what photographs they were there to see, they gave it to him. He looked at it and said, "Well, this won't do you any good." And they said, "Well, why not?" Because these are the numbers that Leonard used back in the D.C. area. Well, as it turned out, NASA had four geographically different archives for these lunar photographs. Each archive had a different designator for these photographs. That would be like going to a different public library than the one you're used to, and they had a different Dewey Decimal System.
Is that a way then to kind of hide the information so it's not readily obvious that it's there?
I would think that, yeah, it is. When they started to kick up a fuss about this, they ended up having to fill out some forms. And no, really.
Sure. I'm thinking typical government behavior. Fill out a form for this.
Well, they wanted to know things like, were you or anybody in your family ever a member of the Communist Party? I mean, that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Just absolutely ludicrous stuff. And they filled all these out. They had to be sent back to wherever these guys were checked out. Finally, they were given the right designators to see these photographs. Now, this is after 3 weeks of going through literally hell to see these public NASA moon photos. The payoff was when they were finally allowed to see them, and they told them which, and it was a series of 40 photographs, the same photographs that Leonard had mentioned in his book. What they ended up seeing, it turned out to be several thousand photographs, because whenever the cameras would see something of interest, they would start to shoot photos of it. But then it would zoom in and shoot more photos, and then zoom in and shoot more photos. Now, this is something a lot of people were not aware of, but they had basically some extreme close-ups, stuff that has never been made available to the American public. And these photographs, now, of course, by this time, my bottom line was, okay, Vito, what did you guys see? I mean, you know, this is a hell of a story. It's really fascinating. It's even been funny. But what's the bottom line? He said, "Don," he said, "we saw construction." He said, "We saw what looked like massive pipes, the things that Leonard referred to as X-drones. We saw those." And I said, "Okay, let me ask you this. Did you see anything that could faintly even be described as an unidentified flying object, a UFO, what you thought might have been some type of extraterrestrial craft? And he said, yes. So what's the bottom line, Vito? He said there was a presence up there. He said, and I think not only is that the reason they were so adamant about people not seeing this stuff, but the majority of photographs that have been released over the years have been incredibly low resolution. So to prove that very point was that Lester wanted to know, his friend wanted to know, if any of these photographs could be purchased by the public. And they said yes. So Vito's company ended up springing for him to buy some of these photographs. And it took a number of weeks for them to be made ready. And when they were ready and they were received, they were all incredibly low resolution photographs with a lot of the detail muddied out. Now, for anybody that's ever looked at a lot of lunar photographs, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say they were muddied out. Now, one of the things that I hope we get a chance to discuss later in the program is the fact that many years later, in 1994, in fact, we did go back to the moon, but not NASA. The Ballistic Missile Defense Organization, or Department of Defense, in connection with NASA, went back to the moon with the Clementine Project. And that in itself is a hell of a story.
I can see where it is. We're going to look also at the questions pro and con about the photographs, about the evidence, and what the heck is going on with our space program. Why have we cut back if there's any evidence of activity on the moon from them? We have Don Eckert. He hosted the Dark Matters radio show.
We still do, Gene.
Is it back on yet? Or?
Well, it's running every night. I have not yet released any new shows in a while.
Okay.
But yes, it's running Monday through Friday on CyberStation USA.
Very good. We have David Hatcher Childress, author and publisher. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet, with always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN, or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Democrat Democrats, Republicans, have you had enough? Want real change? Then change yourself. Join a new political party formed to liberate the American people from the banksters who have overthrown the Republic. If you agree with maximum liberty, limited government, and traditional morality, then you agree with American Third Position. Get more information now. Call 800-513-4928 or go to a3p.me. That's A, the number 3, p.me. It's time to take America back.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This is Paul Bannister. I'm the author of Tabloid Man, The Baffling Chair of Death. You're in the Paracast. And now I'm on the show because the Queen herself asked me to do it. She knows, well, she told me, the Paracast is the gold standard of paranormal broadcasting. Listen and be spooked.
I guess Chris and I can be flies on the wall here, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Don made a very interesting post a couple of days ago on the forum that is just a fascinating list of transient lunar phenomena. David, you're pretty up to speed on the history of anomalies on the moon ever since the development and invention of the telescope. Pretty much strange things have been seen, flashes of light, objects seeming to transit across the face of the moon. You want to talk about some of the histories that we have of these strange sights that are seen by astronomers?
Well, sure. Early astronomers, once they developed telescopes and things, even before that, they were seeing all kinds of stuff on the moon. They thought they saw cities. They thought they saw structures on the moon. There's what they called the crater Gassendi. They also started seeing light on the moon. People started drawing various things. The crater Darwin was thought to be changing all the time, like somebody was digging it out and stuff like that. Early on, they pinpointed several places on the moon, on the face that we can see, and certain craters like Gassendi were particularly known for having this transient lunar light phenomenon moving across it, and people were constantly seeing these lights. And so even before we went to the moon, astronomers were watching particularly certain craters and things. And in fact, allegedly, the Apollo missions targeted many of the places where we had been seeing this transient lunar light phenomenon moving around. Astronomers and NASA admit that there is this phenomenon of light on the moon. Now, we would maybe speculate that, yeah, these lights are craft moving around on the moon. They're machines. If the moon is occupied, as I suggest in my book, Extraterrestrial Archaeology, the moon has space bases on it. There's underground bases. When you watch the movie 2001, one of the things that happens there is when they do go to the moon in that movie, everything's underground, and which is exactly how it would be on the moon. So if there are cities and spaces and hangars, shall we say, on the moon and stuff, there would be underground. But even it's been said that the Apollo astronauts had seen things like spaceships lined up on a crater. In theory, that there are places, there are cliffs on the moon where there's deep shadow and they can't really find the end of these giant caverns, in a sense. There's a crater also on the moon. And George Leonard talked about this in his book. Like Don, I also wrote to NASA. I had certain numbers of photos to get, and I was able to get these glossy photos from NASA. One is of this one crater that's a bottomless crater, and it seems to have this like giant, like huge structure type ladder going down in it. Leonard believed that, and so did Don Wilson of Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon, and I discuss this in several chapters in my book, Extraterrestrial Archaeology, that the moon may be hollow, and that the moon itself, particularly what Don Wilson was saying in his books, Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon and stuff, was that the moon was some artificial satellite, like the Death Star in the Star Wars movies. It was a construct. NASA early on said that, the moon isn't really from the Earth. It's not torn from the Earth as the Pacific Ocean or something like that. They said that the moon was older than the Earth, and it has all these rare metals and stuff in the moon. And that's why it would be mined. You had mining drones, and you could go around the moon just scooping up moon dirt and getting super valuable aerospace-type metals, too, titanium and chromium and stuff like that. So you have this idea that you can go inside the moon and that the moon itself is not even from our solar system. It's like a giant Death Star that's been brought into orbit around our planet, and it's a special orbit. It's said that by biologists and whatnot that life on our planet couldn't exist without the moon. Because of the moon's tidal forces and gravitation, it creates a certain oscillation on the Earth, moving tides, and it's a force that like moves the oceans around and stuff like that. And biologists have said, without that, life as we know it wouldn't have evolved on this planet. So here you have the idea that not only is the moon occupied and some kind of space base, and it's the ideal space base to observe our planet, that's for sure. And if whoever could control the moon, as Don was saying earlier about like military missions to the moon, setting up some military bases there, yeah, you could control our planet from the moon. So here you go. And not only is the moon this giant space base, but it's actually been brought here and put into a special orbit around our planet. And you know what? Many of the other moons in our solar system may be like that too. They may be artificial and have been put into orbit where they are. It's thought that the moons of Mars are like that as well.
David, let me throw in a quick question here to amplify that. You're suggesting then that moons are not formed through a natural process? They must be artificial, or is this a mixture that maybe we have an artificial moon, maybe Mars does, but Jupiter, Saturn, with all those moons?
Well, right, I think it would be a mixture. From what I'm getting, and Richard Hoagland and some of these other sites have some really interesting stuff about Ganymede and some of these other moons around Jupiter and Saturn and stuff, and they're pretty interesting. They have weird seams on them. Some of them also look artificial. Some of them appear to be lit from the inside, like they're hollow, too. I mean, it's certainly totally possible, as far as I'm concerned, that some moons are natural. But at the same time, yeah, I can certainly believe, in a sense, looking at the evidence, that, yeah, some moons are artificial. And that includes our moon.
I seem to remember, you talk about the moon possibly being hollow. I seem to remember reading a report of some sort of seismic instrumentation that was on the moon, and in a fairly sizable meteorite hit the moon, and I just can't help but remember the quote that the moon rang like a bell for 3 days.
Well, actually, that happened in lieu of one of the Apollo missions up there, Chris. They had set up seismic detectors on the surface of the moon. Then one of the booster rockets was sent on a trajectory to hit the moon.
And yes, you're right, Don. That's what happened, right?
Right. They crashed it into the moon.
And they said that it rang like a bell literally for hours. So, yeah, that would seem to suggest, if not hollow, that there is a very large hollow cavity within the moon.
Yeah, the moon, in my book, Extraterrestrial Archaeology, I have a whole chapter on that, including geology of the moon, and that they found, NASA said anyway, and produced some diagrams that, yeah, the core of the moon was off center. They weren't saying that it was hollow, though, but that, yeah, there was anomalies in the interior of the moon. And then, of course, this thing about the moon vibrating and ringing like a bell. There's a really curious Internet video, and it's what Don was talking about before, where, yeah, you go to NASA and you want to get a bunch of photos, and that's something that Americans generally realize, that NASA is a public space program. Everything NASA does should be publicly owned. Every photo they take is public domain. Citizens have a right to have film footage and photos of that. You have to pay for some kind of duplication, or, you know, having some photos sent to you does cost a little bit of money. I had to pay for these photos that NASA sent me. But, yeah, they're free to use. What NASA does is for the public. But yet, they're very, supposedly everything they do is overt. They're telling us, you know, they're very transparent. This is what we do. This is where we're going. This is what we found. But, yeah, the more you look into NASA, and you find that, no, they're very secretive. And they're not transparent. They're not actually, you know, freely giving you the information and photos. You can kind of pry it out of them eventually. If you're clever enough or persistent, you'll get this stuff. See, there's also, and a lot of people don't realize this too, there is another space program in the United States, and it's a military one. And it's not NASA. They have their own rockets.
And we'll have to get into the military space program that we don't talk about quite as much, and a lot more coming up. We have David Hatcher Childress, author and publisher. Adventures Unlimited Press is the outfit that he runs. We have Don Ecker of the Dark Matters Radio Show. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.